Hey everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And as always, we are having a real talk with a real leader. Today's guest is someone who I have gotten to know only through stalking him on Instagram, and most recently started listening to his podcast. So welcome, Terrence Lee. It is awesome to have you. So this is the Introvert Leader edition of the podcast, folks.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I am very excited to be talking here today.
Good. Thank you so much. So as I mentioned, folks, Terrence is an author, podcast host, and content creator. If you're listening to this, you'll have to go to the Introvert Leader on IG, where you'll see all his great posts. You'll also see me commenting often. No, seriously, I always tell you all how I know my guests. And I do know Terrence because I started following him, and just so much that you post, Terrence, I just totally resonates with me through my own experience. And, you know, I am someone who is definitely introverted in many ways. And it's funny because a lot of people, when I say that, they're like, no way. And you know, they don't believe it. And, or they're like, I never thought of you that way. So I'm really, you know, grateful to be able to dive into this topic and create some awareness and discussion around it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it sounds good.
Yeah. So actually tell us about, we talk about evolution so much on my show. So talk to us about your evolution. I talk about all the things that you're doing now, but you clearly had a journey of your own to get there. So whether it's your career or your journey as an introverted leader, tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I mean, I will say that I'm still on the journey. Yeah, I feel like in life we're never quite there. We're always, you know, can get better and work, right? But yeah, I mean, so a little bit about my story. I mean, I think for me, it's easiest when I start from the beginning. So I'm somebody that was actually a very loud kid. I say that a lot. Like I tell people, I grew up moving around a lot. My dad took a lot of different positions in corporate America. He was an accountant. So, you know, we would just move to different cities. I went to six different schools when I was younger. And I was just one of those kids because I think I was in new environments. I wanted to make new friends and I wanted to be noticed. And so, you know, I would talk a lot and I would be the first one to raise my hand in class and all that kind of stuff. And that really changed when I was in the seventh grade. So in the seventh grade, I was in a choir at school. And there's a situation that happened with the choir director where we just had a very contentious kind of relationship. It just never seemed like I could quite get the notes right when I was singing. And she would kind of call me out a lot and things like that. And long story short, what happened one day is I was singing and she didn't like the way I was singing and she stopped the music and she turned directly to me in front of the entire choir and she just yelled and said, Terry Lee, you need to stop singing. And I actually lead off my book with this story and she did that and I was very embarrassed. It was like a low for me. I didn't realize it. When I look back on it now, I realize just how traumatic it was. And some people listening, they may just say, oh, well, you know, not that big of a deal. I told you to stop singing. But for me at that time, like I loved to sing. Like singing, my mom was a choir director and I loved music. I loved writing music, writing poems, all of that. And something about her saying that just really shifted something in me. So after that day, I really went from being that like talkative kid to really going into a shell. I didn't raise my hand in class anymore. I didn't really talk up as much. I didn't speak up as much. I kind of began to really fall back. And then when I got to, you know, just growing up and getting older, it continued. So I got to high school, kind of the same thing, college, the same thing. I wanted to be in like, you know, different leadership roles, student government, things like that. But I just didn't feel like I could do it. I felt like something about me, I just, you know, wasn't cut out for that. So anyway, fast forward and I majored in engineering in school, ended up getting my first role as an engineer. And I got put in a situation where I was forced to do a presentation that I was terrified to do. I didn't want to do it. But the guy that was going to do it put in this 2-week notice. And I had been studying under him. So I ended up doing that presentation in front of some very smart people. And I was, again, I was like terrified, but it actually went really well. And it caused a shift. It was kind of a pendulum swing, I would say, at that point. And I began to get some confidence. And so after that point, people started to say things like, "Terrence, I can see leadership potential in you." To which I was like, "Who are you talking about? Me? Like, I'm the shy guy. I'm the quiet guy. Like, I don't see myself as a leader," because I thought leaders were like loud and outgoing, and that's how I view leaders as. So anyway, long story short, fast forward, I began to get leadership roles. You know, I would get promoted in different positions and things. And so all of that to say, it's been a very interesting journey. And I looked up and I realized here a few years ago that there are probably other people that have introverted personalities that feel the same way that I felt. They feel like their personality is limiting them, or it's a bad thing, when in reality, it's not. It actually can be a good thing. And I learned how to use my introversion to my advantage. And so that's the reason for the Introvert Leader Platform, the reason for what I do, because I just want to empower people with introverted personalities to realize there's nothing wrong with them. In fact, their introversion can be a superpower when it's used the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're saying it, I'm having my own sort of thoughts and flashbacks to people who they're in these positions of leadership that I was around during my journey. They're always so loud and always talking and talking over people. And and one of the things I've learned, and I feel really strongly about this, is that oftentimes a really effective leader is the person who speaks last in a conversation, or as people are, you know, it's going to the conversation and not being so domineering. And so for anybody who's listening, and to you, Terrence, because this is the first time we're talking, actually, I don't mean it that extroverts are bad and introverts are good, or vice versa. And I love actually the way you use the term introverted personality. And so, because I think sometimes labels can be really almost crippling. And so, but these are some tendencies that I think that we see and often struggled with. And I can't tell you how many times in my journey where I have felt like, just to some of those people who are being so domineering in their extroverted personality, it squashes some other people. And they have some of the most incredible people that I've met are the people who are more reserved. They need to process it a little bit more. And when they speak, sometimes I'll literally say to them, "Shh," you know, let that. And a lot of times when I'm in a room or in a discussion, I'll gravitate to the person who's not speaking, because I think that person has something really important to say.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that so much of what you said is so true. There's unfortunately, I think in society, when the word introvert is said, there's automatically these like negative connotations to it, right? It's like, oh, they're an introvert, which means they're quiet, or they're this, or they're not going to speak up. It's like all of these things that are like limiting words. And I don't know, maybe being an author, like I'm very big on language, you know? So as opposed to the flip, which is what I like to do, which is we'll actually take the word introvert and talk about things like being an introvert means you're observant. Mm-hmm. It means you're introspective, you know? Mm-hmm. So you gave the example of like someone that speaks last being a leader. That's a great example. One of the biggest things about being an introvert that's an advantage, and something that I actually do, is I will purposely let other people talk because I want to listen to what they have to say. I also want to observe body language. I want to observe what's going on in the room. I want to notice a lot of things that other people are missing, where someone that's just going to jump out there and talk and they're cutting people off, they're not noticing those things, you know, they're missing all of that. So there are things about introversion that, again, society, I feel like, can paint this negative picture, but there's so many positive qualities when it's used the right way. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think in business, a lot of times that can actually result, some of those perceptions or misperceptions is a better word, can actually create this bias when it even comes to promotions, raises, hiring people, choosing who to lay off, those type of things, where it's been something. That's why I'm so glad to be having this conversation and raising awareness for people who are listening. It's to call this out, to talk about it, and also part of how do we operate in a different way. So if there's anything you can share with creating an environment where we can both honor extroverts and introverts. And I think that that is really important. The two need to be able to coexist. And you and I have had an exchange previously about even if you have a matchup of an extroverted boss and an introverted staff member or vice versa, and the answer is not simply having a bias or putting someone on an island or just gravitating to the people who are constantly talking or that type of thing. So can you talk about and share with us some, just your thoughts on that, any guidance that you have for how to facilitate a more nurturing environment for both types of personalities and everybody in between?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think one of the key things to this whole conversation and what you're asking, which is an amazing question, is to first realize that we're just all somewhere on the scale. Because sometimes I think we get so caught up, especially like in the corporate world and in business, into these labels, right? Oh, this person's an introvert. This person's an extrovert. Well, the reality is we're just all somewhere on the scale. You know, so introversion, typically someone that's an introvert will recharge from time alone, or someone that's an extrovert recharges from time spent with people. But none of us are really 100% all the way one or the other. We're really just all somewhere on the scale. So that's kind of the first thing, I think, as far as education in the workspace and in business for people to realize is to not focus so much on putting people in a box of one or the other. It's just that they're somewhere on that scale. And then I think the other thing is to just realize that everyone is different and they may have different needs. So for example, you know, when I was in management, and I'm in program management now, but before I was in functional management, so I had people that, you know, they were my direct reports and I would do their year-end reviews and mid-years and things like that. And one thing that I realized is that everyone is different and everyone, you have to understand how they work best and when they're the most productive. So like to your question, I think that if you have a team, let's say of 10 people, and let's say that five of them have, you know, more of an introverted personality and five have more of an extroverted personality. Well, for the people that are more introverted, it's not that you would never put them in situations to work in a group, right? However, if they're just always put in situations where they have to do group work, they never get time to work alone, they're never allowed to really, you know, be to themselves, to be with their thoughts, that's going to probably be a struggle for them. So as a leader and as a manager, you would have to know that, right? And then for someone that's more extroverted, what's going to be difficult for them is, hey, I want you to go sit in this office by yourself every day, every week. Like that's not going to work for them because they're probably their most productive and most happy when they're in a group setting, when they're talking through issues with people and they're allowed to do that. So I think it's about just acceptance. I think what I find in a lot of environments is this focus on it has to be this way for everybody, right? So it's like we all have to work as this group together, be together all the time, like, you know, or the flip side, which also you wouldn't want, which is complete isolation, you know, where it's like, hey, we're never going to really communicate. You just, you know, be in your silo because that's not good either, right? So it's like, you know, finding that common ground and understanding people and understanding what works with people and trying to make just the best mix of that. I think that's really the answer. It's not that introverts are always right. Extroverts are always right. It's just what works best for everybody and trying to cultivate that environment.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were saying that, the words came to me as like empathy is as a leader, having empathy again for both sides. And if we're truly working to maximize the impact we have as leaders, then to me, what that means is setting people up for success. So to your point about understanding what makes different people tick, and I think there's also a bit, because I do talk about evolution so much and all of us evolving, it's maybe someone actually is wants more of an opportunity to evolve beyond the place they're at as either a more introverted or extroverted person. And so to your point about it's great to put people in situations that are a little different, and but in doing so, set them up for success in doing that. So I think you bring up some really great points. And again, it's just what came to me was empathy and setting people up for success.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the key word, right? Is empathy.
Yeah.
It's really caring about people and paying attention to people, you know, like a lot of times I think in environments, especially depending on the industry, it can be very fast paced. There's a lot going on. People are driving for results, right? Trying to get things done. And I've seen it times in the past where the people aspect gets missed. It's like, hey, this is a person with feelings and needs, and, you know, and that's where having that empathy is just so important. Cause if you don't have that as a leader, then you're definitely missing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was something else that I was thinking about as I was preparing up for our conversation is a bit of self-awareness as someone who is has a more introverted personality. And so related to any pitfalls. So I'll share some of my own experiences. I know that at times I will catch myself avoiding getting together with people, or if I wasn't invited to a coffee with a couple people, I'm there. Or if I was asked to present on a stage in front of hundreds and thousands of people, I have no problem with that. But if you ask me to a dinner party with like 10, 15 people, no way. And so, you know, I mean, not no way, but it's hard for me to get myself to do that. Or so I only share that because there are things that I need to have self-awareness of my own tendencies, because I have to ask myself, am I limiting myself by not doing certain things, by sort of almost like using it as a crutch, my introverted tendencies? And so I'm sure that there are those on the extroverted side. I'm not that person, so I don't exactly know, but I'm curious what your thoughts are about that element of self-awareness related to our introverted tendencies, how they can almost get in our way.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, I'll share mine. I mean, for me, and this is one of my things, you know, so every year I don't so much do New Year's resolutions as I actually do more like quarterly goals. There's this book called The 12-Week Year that I subscribe to doing like more so quarterly checkups. So one of my things right now that I'm actively working through is putting myself in situations where I'm networking and I'm around people that I don't know more. Because one of the big things that I do, and you kind of touched on it some, you know, yourself, but if I'm invited to something, whether it's like a business event, something for networking, a dinner party or whatever, if I know it's going to be majority people I don't know there, a lot of times I will not go. that's just me, you know, and it's been me for a long time. But what I've realized is that I have missed out on some opportunities as a result of that.
Yeah.
So me just saying that and saying, oh, that's me, that's just how I am. Well, I shouldn't be that way, right? Like I'm potentially missing out on making some great connections, you know, meeting new people, like putting myself in some different situations. So, you know, I'm really challenging myself this year to think about that differently. You know, coincidentally, I actually had a meeting last night and I didn't necessarily feel like going, to be honest. And I got there and everybody was super cool. Like that's the weird thing. I'll have that feeling like I don't want to go, but the majority of the time when I go, I'm actually happy that I did.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so true. It's like getting over that hump to make myself go. I mean, and it's funny because sometimes it happens for me, even like going riding with a group of friends where I'm like, oh God, like all of those people, and they're just going there to stop and talk. And I call it small chat, which I somehow think is worse than small talk. It's just that chatter. But again, to your point, I love what you said, which is sometimes I'm actually holding myself back and, you know, and I have to look at that and be like, oh, and I think here's the thing. I think that it's upon me, I take responsibility and accountability for the result of going or not going. And It's so funny, actually. My coach, who I talk about a lot on my platform, Leslie Harris, he is also a good friend of mine. And I was over with him and his wife, Pam. We're all good friends. And at that time, I was in New York City, not dating at all. And he's like, are you dating? What's going on? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, no one is literally going to come and knock on your apartment door. Like, you need to get out. You need to go do things. And, you know, it's more of the personal side of that, but it is really true. And so I think that we have to ask ourselves, if I don't go, what am I missing out on? And am I okay with that or not? Because there's some times I'm fine with that. I'm good to do whatever I want to do with myself. But there's other times where if there's a result, we have to understand what our role is in creating that result. And that's why I wanted to get your take on any pitfalls to it. Because like we both said, neither one side of the personality is better than the other. They're just very different.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, and that's really what it is. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? It's like, what could you be missing out on? You know, asking yourself, what am I missing by not going? You know, because one of the things that I think is a worst thing that can happen is when you look at your life a year from now and you look back and you say, wow, what if, you know, what if I had gone to this event? What if I had met this person? What if I had, like, we don't want that to happen. And I know that there have been times in my life where, if I'm being honest, that has happened. Like, I'd skipped going to certain conferences because, God, there are going to be hundreds of people there. I don't feel like talking to all these people or meeting these people. But I would talk to people that went to that conference and they told me how, like, their life was changed, how they made all these connections and all of this. And I'm like, wow, I should have went, you know, like, you don't want to be looking back saying I should have, I would have. And on the flip side, like you said, I mean, sometimes maybe it's that you shouldn't have gone, or maybe you know, you weren't going to miss anything by going, and that's fine as well. But we definitely don't want to live with regrets. So,
yeah. Oh my God. Regret is the thing that I don't want to have in my life. So I usually, the way I live my life and make choices is because I don't want to have regrets, you know. And it's actually, so as you were talking, I wasn't planning on going here, but it's kind of funny sometimes where I know, again, when I think about myself and different things I've gone to or conferences, sometimes it's been helpful for me to have, like, air quotes, a buddy so we can go together. But at the same time, there's sometimes that I've caught myself using that person as a crutch. And so again, I think my point here is that I think it takes practice. And if I only go once and I have a great experience, that's one thing. If I only go once and I have a bad experience, so I think the more we do it and we try and we try different tactics, again, if you have a buddy, sometimes that can help, at least for me, it can help me feel calm and like, oh, okay, it's not all on me and I can be quiet while that person speaks. But at the same time, again, like, I have caught myself where I'm like attached to that person's hip, and even the person's kind of like, okay, I'm going to go over here. You go do your own thing. Yeah. So just that element of self-awareness and really understanding the degree to which we want to evolve on that continuum of, you know, personality dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And self-awareness is, God, that's so key. It took me a long time, honestly, to get there, to really get self-aware. I didn't probably get self-aware until I started writing my book. Because prior to then, I didn't fully understand who I was, to be honest. I thought I did. But is there something about when you start to write out your story and write certain things and you notice things where it's like, wow, okay, I didn't realize I was that way. Yeah. You know, but yeah, self-awareness is so huge.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a really great segue, which is your book, which is, I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm going to let you say it, which you also have. For folks who are not watching the video, he has a really dope sweatshirt that has the name Quiet Leader. Let you say it. What's the title of the book?
Yeah. So the book is Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader. Yep.
And that's what his sweatshirt says. And it's awesome. It's black. You all know my favorite non-color is black. So tell us about it. And I know that there's like 12 principles that it speaks to. So again, like, tell us, give us a bit of a sneak peek, and maybe we'll inspire some folks who are listening to purchase it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the book is Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader, Principles for Introverts to Awaken the Leader Inside. And again, it was really just, it started with my journey into leadership as an introvert, because for so long, I didn't think that being an introvert, I could be a leader. And so with the book, it's really directed at people that have a more introverted personality, but desire to go into leadership, or even people that are currently in leadership and they're just looking to take their leadership to the next level. So, you know, with every chapter, we have a specific principle, and then there are action steps to take away from that principle. So, you know, one thing with me, I'm not one of those that I didn't want to write a book that was just motivation and good talk and everything like that. I'm very big on action. You know, like I'm very big on, okay, here's the principle, but now what are we going to take away and do with it? So, so every chapter has actions to take away. There's also a workbook that is free and goes along with the book as well. So yeah, and it's available at quietvoicefearlessleader.com.
It's awesome. And I do, I have ordered one just yesterday. I was like, why am I, I've been stalking him and I have him on the show. I need this book in my life. And I'm going to have to buy myself one of those sweatshirts too. I'm totally fangirling, so you have to apologize.
No, I appreciate it.
No, it's so important. And I really wanted to have this conversation more. I had someone on my episode who I actually tagged in your live last night, Adrienne Ricchetti, who worked with me, and she and I would talk about it all the time. So again, I'm just really glad to have this. So actually, what sparked you to write the book? Because I believe the book was like a bit of the beginning of your journey in this area. Is that right?
Yeah. So this was my first time ever writing a book. And it really came from, you know, it's interesting. I had the thought to write a book for a long time. But if I'm totally honest, I didn't know a lot about introversion or extroversion. All that I knew was I'm this guy that's a little quieter than everybody in the room. I feel like leaders are this, and I'm totally different. And I started to get these leadership roles. And so I wanted to help people because I realized like there have to be other people out there like me. Like there have to be, you know. So it's interesting when I started to write it, which was toward the beginning of 2020. It was right around the time that COVID happened. So prior to that, you know, I have a family, a lot of obligations and things. So it was kind of hard to find time to write. Mm-hmm. And with being pretty much in the house, you know, I found that time. So yeah. I started to write, had no idea what I was doing. A lot of the stories that ended up in the book and things, they were not in the original version. Because I didn't want to really share that much of myself. I typically am pretty guarded. And a lot of the stories in the book, they're very personal, but they're not stories just to share a story. They tie directly into the principle of that chapter. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to be vulnerable and make people realize that, like, I'm not perfect and no one else is going to be perfect.
Right.
But all you can be is your authentic self. And if you're your authentic self, and you follow different principles and you just continue to work on yourself, then you're going to be good. So, so honestly, I didn't have like a master plan for it. I just knew I wanted to write something to inspire and help. And yeah, and it came out. So
that's awesome. And that's one of the things that I gravitate to so much about the way that you operate is that leaning into authenticity. And I heard you saying one day about you didn't want to do the podcast until you felt that you could be truly open and sharing, and you talked about not being fake. And again, as I opened up this, and as you, if you paid any attention to the, you know, to my platform, it is all about diverse authentic leaders and how can we show up as our true selves. And because I believe that the more we can do that, the more effective we can be for ourselves and others. And you know, I think I've heard when people say I'm so worried about what other people think of me, and for me it's like, it's, that's not something I can control. What I can control is how I feel about me. And to your point, I'm not perfect and nobody else is, and that's not what I'm expecting. That's again why I lean so much into the evolution and you know, continuing to grow in the journey. But I just really do celebrate that element that you're sharing about being authentic and about sharing that, because I think that's what resonates with people so much.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, and that's, I think that's why the Introvert Leader platform hasn't been, I get asked sometimes like, gosh, you know, you create so much content and you do a lot with it. Like, how do you how do you do that? And my answer to that is, it's just my natural life. It's just me. You know, yeah. I think when you're just in your flow and in your element and you're talking about just what comes natural to you, then I think things become easy. You know, I've tried to do other businesses in the past. I've tried to do a lot of different things and they weren't me, you know, so I didn't feel authentically myself. So, you know, anyone listening to this, it's like, if you feel comfortable, if you feel like whatever you're talking about or doing, you're like truly in flow when you're doing it, then that's probably something you should be doing. You know, that's a key to show you that you're really operating at your, you know, your best self. So
absolutely. Absolutely. But so one of the other questions is, and I know I prepared you for this one, but I get asked this too, if I feel this way about myself as being more introverted, how is it that I can have a podcast? And how is it that I'm talking to people all the time? And a lot of people have a perception that those two things don't match up. So do people ask you that? Or what's your experience with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get that question a lot. I actually did a video addressing that question a little earlier. Because I get asked that a lot, right? A lot of people assume it's like, well, I'm an introvert. I can't be on camera, or I can't be talking on a podcast, or I can't, you know. And again, back to language, right? Language is so huge. And I had to learn this from myself. Because one thing that I used to tell myself was, I can't talk in front of people. And that's one reason that one of the chapters in the book is all about speaking. It's all about communication. I had to learn to become a communicator, but a lot of it, which by the way, I'm still working on improving, but one of the main things and one of the baselines for that is our language. Mm-hmm. So an affirmation that I say to myself whenever I'm going to talk in front of a group, lead a meeting or anything, I repeat over and over in my head, I'm the best speaker in the room. I just say that over and over, yeah. Right? So that's what it was for me. But someone listening to, you know, the podcast now, it may be something completely different, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times as introverts, we'll put these crutches on ourselves, or we'll say that we can't do certain things. I can't be on camera. I can't this, I can't that. When in reality, as long as we're being authentically ourselves and we're talking about a topic or something that really interests us, something that we're passionate about, we absolutely can do that thing. We absolutely can talk about that, whether it's on video, on a podcast, whatever the case is. But we do have to start with not limiting ourselves through our words and our thoughts. Because if we, you know, if we don't start there, then it's constantly going to be in the back of our head, you know? And so I'm very big on affirmations. That's one thing I talk a lot about, is just positive thinking, positive words. A lot of this stuff, people may think it sounds cliche or whatever. It's like, oh, that's that, you know, mindset stuff, but it's so huge, you know, and that's why just mindset, affirmation, I think is very big. So, you know, kind of long answer, but I think it really just comes down to, whatever you don't think you can do, if you tell yourself you can't do it, then that's not the way to view it. It's really, I want to become this thing. How do I become that? And what are the steps I take to get there? So, I think being an introvert should not limit anybody from pursuing something.
Yeah, it is really true. And something that I've talked a lot about is what we say to ourselves about ourselves is incredibly powerful.
Yep.
And to your point, it takes, if we notice that it is a part of us that we want to evolve or evolve beyond, then what we say to ourselves about ourselves related to that makes a huge difference in how we can exist in that realm. And so I think there's also elements of part of, again, why it's so great that you're providing information and guidance and, you know, your various resources, is so that sometimes there's also like tricks to it. Like I talked about with some, you know, having a buddy sometimes can help, as long as we don't have that become a crutch. You know, if we're going to go to a setting, it's also whether we're on a podcast or we're talking to a group of people. Again, if I sit there and think about and worry about all the people in the audience and I'm scanning the room all that time, but if I'm just talking and looking directly at you, and listening to you and zoning in. These are all, again, they're tricks that I've used over time so that I can allow myself to be in an environment or engage or communicate with someone and not get so overwhelmed by the part that is not what maybe I'm afraid of or just doesn't feel comfortable to me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you made a lot of good points there. I mean, that's a really good trick to use, right? Is to focus in on a person when you're speaking in front of people or talking. You know, I like to like focus in on a friendly face, you know, like that one person that's kind of like nodding their head, like in agreement, or they're laughing or you know, smiling. That's so key. That helps a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've mentioned your podcast a lot, and I know it just recently has launched. So tell the audience about what you're doing with it, what it's called, everything you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Quiet Voice, Fearless Mind. So a play off of the book, Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader. And really a lot of it is just about empowering introverts through mindset. And so we talk about a lot of different topics that as introverts, we can struggle with, you know, so like the first episode was really more of a welcome episode. I talked about my journey, a lot of things we talked about here, just my journey through leadership as an introvert. Coincidentally, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but the second one is about how to stop caring about what people think about you. That's one that a lot of people on social media told me, you know, as introverts, they wanted to hear about. But every week, episodes drop on Fridays. So I'm on Apple, on Spotify, and on YouTube as well for a video version. And yeah, it'll just be, you know, an every week episode, really just trying to give information to introverts to help them to really live their best life. So it's been a lot of fun getting a lot of different ideas for topics from people. So that's been really cool to put all that together. And yeah, just having a blast with it.
Yeah, it's great. And as the part of my life where I am living and breathing marketing as a business person, I have to say and give you total shout out that the way you put it out there, the mixture of your various platforms, the way your email newsletter, the way you tap into and engage your audience. So again, I'm giving you a shout out, but I'm also and total, I hate this word kudos, but that's what came to mind. But also for the audience, like he really does it well. So I just really encourage everybody who's listening. If this is something of interest to you or if you're a leader and this is interesting to you because you feel you're introverted is one thing. But I think it's also something where if you're not, but you know that you're going to have some of your staff who are, I do think it's something that is really important as well. So again, that's something that's come to me a lot in this conversation that this is not a conversation for only people who feel introverted. And if we as leaders are looking to maximize the impact we have and to exercise that empathy, again, it's understanding what makes different people tick, as we said earlier. So I highly encourage people to tap into this to any degree, to put some more tools in your toolbox.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. And yeah, and it's like I said, it's been a lot of fun. And you said something very key too, that sometimes people will assume that my content is just for introverts. And while I focus, you know, in that area and talk to introverts, I have a lot of extroverts that I talk to as well. And they'll reach out to me, they'll send messages and they'll say that, you know, they enjoy the content too, you know, because like I said earlier, you know, we're all just somewhere on the scale, right, of introversion and extroversion. So, I love my extroverts too. You know, I don't have a bias or anything. So.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. And again, like, you know, we're all, as you just said, we're all somewhere on that continuum. And so just really having that self-awareness, I think is really important. So we've hit a lot of topics. And is there anything that you think we've not talked about that you want to hit? Any guidance you think that you want to extend to people?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, what I want to leave with, and I, you know, I talk about this, but I'm very passionate about it, is for anyone listening or watching, if you feel like you have to be someone else, or if you feel like you have to be something else, or if you find yourself comparing yourself to other people, then I would tell you to lean more into who you already are, to not assume that the answer is outside of you, to not assume that the answer is to be something other than what you are. And this means so much to me because for so long, that's what I did. I would turn to a lot of different things other than just being myself to try to feel whole. And so if anyone's listening and, you know, you feel that way, I would just encourage you to lean into you, you know, whether you're an introvert, you're an extrovert, in between or whatever, lean into who you are and what you already are. Because a lot of the answers and a lot of what you need, it's already there. So don't assume that you have to be someone else. Don't assume that someone else has all the answers figured out. I mean, I don't have all the answers figured out. No, none of us do. But ultimately, if you're being authentic and you're leaning into who you are, then you're in a good space. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so true. And sometimes to your point about comparison, and sometimes it's like, if we don't, we're like, oh, well, I could never do that, or that person's better than me because of it. Again, I think that you talked about this earlier, and I just want to make sure that we're a bit of like putting an exclamation on it, which is, this comes without judgment. This is not one better than the other. And it's also okay. Like I can say about my sister, she loves to be around people. She's the person who's like stopping in the grocery store to talk to the people she knows. I'm like, get up. I'm like hiding my head and going the other way, you know, and that's okay. That's who she is authentically. Yep. And yep. It does not mean that she's better than me. It just means that we're very different in certain yep. ways. And so, you know, again, just to put that exclamation on it is, being proud of who you are, and that with self-awareness, with empathy, and understanding that we're learning with and from each other on the journey is I think so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Well, I'm so grateful to finally get a chance to talk to you, to have you on the show and share all of this with the audience. Folks, again, I'll drop all this stuff when I post this, but, you know, definitely check out the book, the podcast, get yourself hooked up with some gear and definitely check out the Introverted Leader on IG. You'll see Terrence and me chatting. You'll see me popping in with comments a lot. So Terrence, thank you so much. And I hope you have an awesome day.
Thank you so much. I hope you do as well. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Have a great day.